Well, I debated over what I should speak about today, and I couldn't decide, so I brought a whole computer full of messages. I heard a rumor there's some food, so I narrowed it down to two, so if it's not the right one, we'll just switch halfway through. But with all the stuff going on in the news today, you know, up until a day or two ago, this wouldn't have been my choice to start with. But we are getting close, and I've heard this from the time I was a little kid, so I understand some of the things that go with it. You know, when I remember I was 8, 7, 8, 9 years old, and hearing my grandpa talk, he was on a church board, and, you know, should we make plans for next year? Because Jesus is going to be here by next year, so why should we even plan? And thinking, no, Grandpa, I don't want him to come. I got too much stuff I want to do yet. And I even told him that once. But there's things happening today that would be impossible to happen 10 years ago even. You know, with the technology, with the infrastructure for the mark of the beast being built and in effect, and they've got everybody hooked into going along with it, and all of their little rewards, little tidbits. You know, nobody can walk around without one of these. Sometimes people get up in the middle of the night and they just check to see who's messaged them. You go to a restaurant and you see a family sitting at a table and there's 3 or 4 of these and they're all, nobody's talking to each other. They're all got their nose into these. And of course, they're tracking everywhere you go with them. Even if you turn your location off, if they want to know, they'll find out where you are. And if you don't think that computers are listening, I'm not saying that there's, you know, little spy agencies with headphones on and they're listening to every word. It doesn't work like that. Computers have algorithms and they just check for words and then start recording and then somebody gets a flag somewhere. Go and listen to this. If you don't believe it, just talk about something in the hearing of your cell phone and probably that day, if not that day, the next day, you'll get ads popping up, talking, you know, trying to entice you. Anybody here ever experienced that? All the time. Tell me they're not listening. If you were in marketing and you had a business and you were trying to sell that, who wouldn't take advantage of that? And how do you think that all of this free stuff is paid for? Google costs money. Yahoo costs money. DuckDuckGo costs money. Everything costs money. How do you think that they pay for it? You know, I don't think George Soros is going to, out of the goodness of his heart, say, oh, let's just spy on all these people and we won't use any of this information we gather. But I want to talk about that. I'm just talking about we're getting close to the time where those things really are going to matter. They really are. Because probably everybody here in this room will be a criminal. You're not a criminal today. Not that I know of. I know. But we will all be criminals. And our lives will be in danger. And what are we going to do? Are we going to, you know, if you were living in Nazi Germany in 1939, because I used to tell people this is Nazi Germany, 1936. Well, we're way beyond 1936. Or it's closer to like 1939. What would you do? Would you send your children to the government training institutes with brown shirts can train them up to be good little Nazis? Would you join the communist or the Nazi party and be a good party member? Because maybe it would help you with your job a little bit. You know, people that didn't do these things suffered consequences because of it. And a lot of people, I'm afraid, will just say the consequences aren't worth, you know, I mean, Jesus knows my heart. He knows I love him. What are you going to do when the mark of the beast comes? Because it will come. And you can't buy or sell. And if you've got children or grandchildren and they come up and they say, I'm hungry. Because everybody was more worried about buying version 15 of this or S29 of something else or 200 cable channels on cable TV and unlimited data on the phone. And, you know, I talk to people that are struggling, but one of the things I try and find out is, do you have 200 TV channels? Believe it or not, you can survive. When I grew up, there was three. I remember when UHF, they had the first UHF station in Milwaukee. I don't remember, Channel 18 or something like that. That was a big deal. It was more than CBS, NBC, and ABC. I remember when TV used to, you know, at the end of the evening, they'd put the little test pattern on there and would go off the air, dead space, no broadcasting. Now, is it nicer to come home if you're bored and you really want to find something? In 200 channels, you can probably find something. And if you can't, you can stream to your TV with your favorite videos that you got, or you can fire up your DVR and you can play that, or DVDs. And family's struggling with $1,500, $2,000 a month house payments, two car payments at $300 and $400 each, and on and on and on the list goes. And then the bad thing is people are running up credit cards and getting credit card debt at 24% interest. And if you can't buy groceries today, you won't be able to buy them in 6 months when your credit card payments are coming due. But I don't want to talk about that so much today. I want to talk about God's law. That's my favorite topic. It's my pet peeve. And I'll stop talking about it when people start to actually do it. Because that's the solution for it all. It really is the solution. You know, sometimes you got something, you get hurt, you break an arm. I broke up my wrist once. I had a broken collarbone, but I was too little to remember that. And then I had a broken wrist. I was up in Canada climbing on some rocks and that and fell off and sliced my wrist open. This one, I still got the scar and broke it at the same time. I remember going in. My mom and dad took me to some doctor's office up there, and he had to set the bone. Oh, all night long, I'd gone through it, didn't sleep much that night, and was throbbing, and it was hurting, and I was in continuous pain. And then I get there, and I don't like doctors, didn't like them then, don't like them now. But he gets in there, and he takes an x-ray, and he says, yeah, he broke his wrist, and we got to set it. And what's that mean? So they try explaining to me, no, no. But after he did it, it started to feel better. Sometimes you got to go through a little something that you don't think is going to be pleasurable or desirable, but in the end, it was the solution to what you need. And that's what I'm trying to get across. God's laws are the solution to what we need. Now, are there some that I would do different? Yeah. But you know what that shows? It shows that I don't understand them correctly. Because he didn't make a mistake with any of them. We're guilty of the buffet syndrome. Anybody ever go to a buffet like Old Country Buffet or Golden Corral or something like that? And what do? You walk down the lines and you say, oh, wow, look at this beautiful fresh fruit. I love that. But I'll skip the pineapple because I don't like pineapple. And somebody else will skip the asparagus because they don't like that. Or maybe they don't like the broccoli. And then other people, you know, I'll go up on the, look at the meat they got going, grilling on the grill, and I'll see about, you know, if they got some the way I like it. And sometimes we used to have the guy trained for Golden Corral when they were open in Knoxville. He'd wash it off, wash all the blood off, and then throw them up on the grill for us, and grill them. But anyway, other people say, meat. Well, I'm a vegetarian. I'm not going to eat that meat. And others will say, is that grass-fed organic beef? Or, you know, the thing is you skip the stuff you don't want and you pig out on the stuff that you want. That's why you go to a buffet instead of a restaurant, because with the buffet you can eat all you want. And you can go back and, you know, some people go to the dessert first. And then if they got room, then they'll fill up with the food. But that's what people do with God's laws. We all got the ones we like. So we center in on that. We focus on that. And we tell everybody about that. And everybody has their favorite laws that they keep. Some it's the Sabbath. Some it's the holy day. Some it's clean and unclean. You know, and on and on. I'll tell you one that's not my favorite. It's one of the ones I would have done different. Except I've come to understand why he did it. Fat burgers. I love them. If I get close to lusting for food, it's the fat burgers. 15, 20 years ago when Hardee's came out with their whatever they called it, I can't remember. It was thick and it was juicy and it was 100% Angus beef. And I stopped and I got one and I ate it and I thought, oh man, this is one of the best hamburgers I've ever had. And when I read in Leviticus 3 and Leviticus 7 and it talked about we're not supposed to be eating the fat, and I realized, well, that's it for me, because they all got fat burgers, 22, 28% fat. And people say, well, what about, you know, lean? What about like 12% fat? Well, that's an improvement. It's only 12% sin. And people think, well, you harp on that a lot. And the blood, eating blood and stuff like that a lot. Say, well, I wish it wasn't so, but I understand, you know, why he said not do it. Cardiovascular problems and all that. That fat's not good for us. There are healthy fats and there are unhealthy fats. Unhealthy fat is a red meat fat. It'll plug up your arteries. It'll get you into the ICU. And somebody will be saying, laying on that bed with tubes coming out of them and monitors. And they'll be saying, why me? I never ate a pork chop in my life. I'll stop talking about that when people start taking it serious. Not my favorite. But that's not what I don't want to talk about fat burgers today. Let's people want to know just the cliff notes. You know, give me the bottom line for God's laws, all right? They don't want to have to study. They don't want to have to read. They don't want to have to look it up. Just give me the bottom line. So let's take a look at one of the cliff notes. Exodus 20, verse 15. You shall not steal. Now people say, well, that is the cliff note. No, not really. That's so broad of a category. There are multiple, and I just now thought about it. I should have done it in my chart with the two greatest commandments, you know, love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might, and love your neighbor as yourself. And then under those, the 10 commandments are categorized. And then under the 10, the chart goes down. And all of the rest of God's laws out of the Torah, the 613, they all come from them. So under this commandment, you shall not steal, or thou shalt not steal, there is a whole bunch of laws that deal with that, all right? Here's an example of one way that almost everybody violates it. Deuteronomy 25:13. You shall not have in your bag diverse weights, a heavy and a light. You shall not have in your house differing measures, a large and a small. You shall have a perfect and just weight, a perfect and just measure, that all your days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord your God has given you. For all who do such things, all who behave unrighteously, are an abomination to the Lord your God. Okay? So, what's going on with that? Anybody got in their bags or in their wallets, something that's not a righteous measure? If you want an example, let me show you one. Doesn't matter the denomination, right here. It says Federal Reserve Note on the front of it. In the back it says, In God We Trust, but they really don't because they don't do what God says. This alone is worth 50% of what it was probably 3 years ago or 4 years ago now, but at least 5 years ago. It will only buy, this is $100, it will only buy what $50 bought 5 years ago. Compared to 1920, this will buy what about 10, 15 cents would buy in 1920. We rob from each other. We don't have real measures. And the ones that suffer the most are people like on Social Security or a fixed income disability of some kind, because you can't live off of that. And we're so busy handing these away to people that don't deserve them and shouldn't have them that we don't even take care of the widows and the suffering and the sick like we should, because there's a big scam going out in the world. So there's multiple ways thou shalt not steal. We steal from each other. Checks, credit cards, 401ks becoming 101ks. People that think they've tried to save all their life, put some money away so they can afford to retire. And then if they finally do retire, then they've got to sell their house and downsize, get rid of the cars. You know, well, we don't need three cars now. We can get by with one. You know, and on it goes. Deuteronomy. God offers us this deal. It's not just people 3,500 years ago. The deal is offered to us. Let's look at this deal. It's called a covenant. Let me get something. I spent several days, 2-3 days a week, in a law school in Milwaukee, Marquette University in Milwaukee, on my own. I had an offer from a judge. He'd get me financing if I'd go to law school and become a lawyer. He'd get me a job in his brother's law firm, and I turned that down. But I just wanted to study and learn the truth. That's what really got me excited and involved with God. Okay? A lot of reasons why, and I did a lot of things I shouldn't have done. But the bottom line was, is I got interested in the law, I don't know, 35 years ago, and studied it, and then realized that's man's law. That's garbage. What really matters is God's law. This is a contract. It's a covenant. You know, when you buy a house, and you make an offer for the house, and you go through the whole procedure, it's a covenant. People throw the words around, but they don't realize it. We've got a covenant. We got a contract from God. It's an offer. And when you have an offer, you got to have an acceptance. And when you have an acceptance, there's terms to this contract that are binding on both parties. Not just us, binding on God too. He offered, he wants us to accept it. But too many want to say, yeah, I'm in. But let me change the terms here. I don't like this. Or I'm going to ignore this part. Do like I used, oh, I don't understand it. It don't make sense to me. It's stupid. I'm not going to do that. My attitude sucks so bad. It's a good thing that he just doesn't smite people dead. I says, you're going to have to explain it to me if you want me to do this. Now, if I would have said to the kids, listen, this is what we're going to do from now on. And they said, no, I ain't going to do that. I don't see the wisdom of your edict here. And unless you can convince me that you're correct in laying down this edict, I just ain't going to do it, Dad. That wouldn't have worked out very well. Why I thought it would work out with God, I don't know. I guess I was pretty stupid too. But let's look at a deal, a covenant, a contract that people say they accept, but they don't accept it. Sign a contract to buy a car, a house, anything, and then after both parties have signed it, take that contract, start crossing things out and rewriting it and see how that works for you. It's Deuteronomy 28:1. It says, "Now it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God." Diligently, anybody keep up? Different translations say different things, but that doesn't mean like haphazardly, okay? It's like the opposite of haphazardly. If you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to carefully observe most of, no, I guess it's wrong, all. A lot of times, I guess I just gotta, you know, keep my mouth shut, bite my tongue. I go to places and hear other people talking and I listen and, you know, and then I'll get to, they'll get in and be talking something about God's law. Well, those aren't for us. Well, they're all for us. He didn't make any mistakes. He didn't screw up. Okay? Now, there's some that I can't do. There's some commandments that are for women. Can I do those? No, I'm sorry. But I have a wife. I have daughters. Even though I can't do them, I still need to know about them. Maybe to explain, to help, to remind, to just give that look every time, whatever you got to do, I still need to know about them. If you're a woman, there are commandments that are just for men. You can't do them. Do you have a husband? Do you have a boyfriend? Do you have children? Do you have sons? Maybe you need to know them. There are some just for priests, for the Levites. Nobody here in this room has to or is even able to do them. What should we do them? What are we supposed to be in the resurrection? It doesn't talk about kings and priests and, you know, so shouldn't we at least have that concept? I talk about people. Jesus is the high priest. What does a high priest do? Anybody? You know? Most Sabbath keepers are completely ignorant about high priests. You say, well, Jesus is my high priest. Well, isn't that, even if you don't know about the regular priest, everybody says, oh, that's all the sacrifices and killing animals and stuff like that. But we know Jesus ain't doing that today, so who cares? I don't know. Just thinking. Maybe there's some insight to it. Now, even if you were a Levitical priest, guess what? That's like working for General Motors, but there's no building. There's no assembly line. There's no dealerships. There's no cars. Well, you might be considered an employee, but you can't go to work. You can't collect the paycheck. You can't, but you're an employee in general. It's like me. I'm a member still of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. In writing 30, 40 years ago, we wrote to them and said, please remove us from your list. They refuse. You know, so, but I'm a member of it. Okay? There are a lot of things out there. We can see how God operates. You know, there's things today that exist today that didn't exist when this contract was written. What about watching naughty things on the internet? Could you find a verse in here that talks about that? No. But you can find verses that talk about those concepts, those things, those types of sins, and you can then apply it to something modern. That's what everything is like. Even the things for the Levites only, or if you live in the city versus just the land. If you live in the land, there's some laws there. If you live in the city of Jerusalem, there's even others. But people aren't excited about that. And I understand that. But it says, if you carefully observe all his commandments, which I command you today. So God wasn't serious when he wrote that. He told Moses, write this down. Moses was the secretary. God was the author. Maybe he didn't mean what it says. Boy, you know, you got to go through 4 years of college and become a thud, a PhD, to explain that one. God didn't mean what he actually said. You got to be a highly trained professional to pull that off. That the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. Boy, this sounds like a pretty good deal. We're one verse into it and says, if we diligently obey his voice and we carefully observe all of his commandments, that he's going to set us high above all the nations of the earth. Hey, that sounds like a pretty good deal. What's he? So I got to listen to him and I got to do some things and I'm not up here like a Pentecostal preacher. Now we're going to pass the box or the bag or the envelope around or whatever they pass, little basket. And it doesn't matter if you don't have money in your bank account, just write it out. Whatever year you were born, put that down for the figure. God will bless you. Plant your seed. I'm not talking about that kind of nonsense. Okay? I'm just talking about what he wants to do for us. You know, I got people in my family. Some of them are here. There's hardly anything that I wouldn't give them if they asked and I knew they really needed it. To my own suffering, I would do that. Well, God can give us things that's not to his suffering. He has to withhold some things from us because we'll use them to destroy ourselves. But if they start spitting in my face and ignoring me, and then they come and say, hey, you got $100 I can borrow? Even if I got one in my wallet, I say, no, I'm sorry. You know, sometimes people do things that cause themselves pain or problems. Sometimes you got to let them go through that and experience the pain so that they can see the wisdom behind some of the rules so you don't do it again. I know, unfortunately, that's how I have to learn. I got to screw up and I can see how bad it turns out and I say, man, I don't want to do that again. Maybe somebody else is like that that's listening. But it says, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall you be in the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you go out. That's a whole lot of blessings here. That sounds like a pretty good deal. No matter where you are, what you're doing, God's blessing you. Anybody want to sign up for that? Guess what? It's available. It's out there. The offer is there. Verse 7. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before your face. And they shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. We have examples of things like that happening in the Bible. When Israel was faithful, when they were obedient, when they listened to God, when they loved him, when they were his wife, a faithful wife, not an unfaithful wife, they didn't have to worry about anything. One person. Get off too much on the sidelines. One person could send 200 fleeing. Now, the most I ever sent fleeing was 7. I was stupid. Some kids threw a rock at my car when I was a kid. I think I was 16 at the time. And I slammed on the brakes. I got out of the car and 2 or 3 were laying on the ground before, you know, and then the rest decided to run. And then afterwards, I thought about it and said, what if there would have been one, it would have taken just one really tough one in there, in that group. They're all about my age, my size, and I had some steel-toed boots on that helped, but I planted my boot up the butt of one and his feet came off the ground. He didn't get up. He just kind of rolled around in the ditch a little bit. But 200? Oh, that's nothing. Do we need 2,000? What about Gideon's army? He has to thin us down because we'll think we're so great ourselves. Verse 8, the Lord will command the blessing on you and your storehouses on which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. I don't know, but every piece of land I ever bought, every house I ever bought, every house I got, you got to pay for it. You got to go out. It costs you something. And it takes a while to do this. How much land did Israel buy? You ever think about that? How much land? What did he give them? Maybe I should have a picture. You know, that little country over there today, Israel, that's not the land. It's not limited. You know, you got to take a look at Jordan and Syria and down into Egypt. And he gave them huge amounts of land. Verse 9, the Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. This is the one thing he asks for from us. It's conditional. People say, oh, I'm good on the 10. That's a good start. Those are the ones, those are the really important ones that he wrote with his finger in stone, so they'll never change, never abolish, universal for everyone. I don't care who you are. Every one of the 10 commandments is universal for everybody on the face of the earth. Not a vast majority of people in this country, even let's forget about Shintus, Muslims, and all the rest. They'll keep or try and say, well, let's do 8. Some 9, some 10, but don't talk to me about the other ones. You know how to start a good argument? Just talk about circumcision with a group of men. And even if every man in that conversation, and I don't know, I don't check, but I suspect that every man in that conversation, when I talked, they were all circumcised, but it'll stir up a hornet's nest. Oh, here come the loopholes. Verse 10, then all of the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. You don't really want them to be afraid, but you know what? If the Muslims were afraid of Israel today, what's going on right now wouldn't be going on. They see weakness. They see opportunity. They see, you know, their chance. And so they're suffering because of it. Sometimes you're better off if your enemies are afraid. I grew up in a little community called Caledonia, but a section of Caledonia, it was like the Harlem of Racine County. Now, most of you don't even know who that is. In fact, when some of Mary's family, when I started dating Mary and that, and I said, where's he from? He's from the Vista? My next door neighbors were the neighborhood thieves and drug dealers. My best friend who lived there, his oldest brother drove around in a hearse. Okay? It fit the image he was portraying. He spent a few years in the state penitentiary for burglary, but every time, see, they would have scanners, police scanners. And every time the cops would be coming to their house to raid them, they'd find out on the police scanner and they'd throw all the drugs over the fence into our backyard. And my mom and dad said, kids can't go out in the yard. And we'd look and then the cops would come and they'd search and they'd do, and then the cops would leave. And sometimes it's at night. Sometimes it's in the early morning. Sometimes it's in the day. It happened multiple times. But especially at night, you'd see them all over in our backyard with flashlights looking for the drugs that they chucked over the fence. Because they knew that the cops were coming. Sometimes It's better off if your enemies are afraid of you. Anybody ever have to deal with a bully? There's a lot of bullies out in the world. I was in, I don't know, elementary school, maybe junior high school, and there was this bully, and this kid was tough. But he decided, you know, he was going to pick on me for a while. And I tried avoiding him, and he'd hide, and, you know, but then it just, he saw a weakness. So then it made the bully be worse. And one day that bully come up to me, and I just popped him in the nose out of nowhere. He got a bloody nose running down his face and that. And then you know what happened after that? That bully jumped on me and stomped my butt. But I told him, every time you come around to bully me, I'm going to pump you in the nose again. Go find somebody else to pick on. He never bothered me again. He went to somebody else that was afraid and went, no, please, I'll give you money, I'll give you my lunch, I'll get whatever he wanted. Sometimes it's better off that your enemies are afraid of you. Not because it makes you good, but go find somebody else to pick on. That's easier. Pray. Verse 11. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods, and the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open you the land, or I'm sorry, the Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give you rain in your land in its season, to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be only above and not beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. It's if we do it, and if we diligently or we're carefully, you know, we're cognitive of what we're doing in light of what God says. So you shall not turn aside for any of these words which I command you this day, to the right or to the left, or to go after other gods to serve them. A lot of other gods out there. The biggest one that affects the most people is the god of the state. Heck, churches don't even form without violating the first commandment, incorporating and asking the state to be their god. Literally, legally, they're the creator. They grant the creation of that corporation and allow them to function, and then they call themselves a church, and they got their record keeping, and they file their corporate charter, they file their yearly reports to the IRS, then they got to apply, and they want to be 501c3. Well, if you're a corporation, you better be 501c3. Guess what? If you're not, you're already, if you're a church, like, we're just talking about churches, I don't care what the others do. We went through this years ago with Tom, showed him some of the laws and that. So the IRS and the state is their god. They violate the first commandment. And then they call themselves believers and in a covenant relationship with God. And one of the big ten, thou shalt have no other gods before me, they went to the state and said, can I exist? And guess what? If they don't do what the state says, when the state starts putting out edicts, and it will do what the state says, what will happen to that corporate charter? They will dissolve it. Saw some of that. I don't know of any that it actually happened to. But 3 years ago when the COVID nonsense started up, they were telling churches, you can't meet. Now, some violated it. Some kept going. Some, even some corporate churches. They just didn't want to pick that fight at this point, I think. But for my business, I take care of two law firms. One of them, the guy calls me up and he says, hey, I want to sue the state. Whether you, I don't think that the governor can shut all of the churches down. It's unconstitutional. Would you be willing? And I said, now he goes to like a 3,000 member church. He sings in the choir. It's a Baptist church. I said, Andy, why don't you go to your church? He says, oh, they'll never, agree to that. They're so political. They're a corporate. But he knew we were unincorporated and not a 501c3. He'd say, well, what do people do with tax deductions? Well, the IRS code says the churches and synagogues are exempt. Why would an enrolled agent from the IRS explain to me 25 years ago, why would you go and apply for something that you already possess? And he pulls the law and he shows it to me. He says, read it. It's not that hard. You can understand it. He says, once you give that up and apply for a 501c3, now you got all of these rules and regulations that the government edicts that you have to follow. You don't have to follow none of these. If it's a conflict with what you believe, you can ignore it. So anyhow, this lawyer, he went to the town that we live in. We live in Knoxville. And this was Wednesday. He talks to their legal department and he said, hey, I just thought I'd let you know. I represent the Seventh-day Church of God in Knoxville, Tennessee, 4611 Central Avenue Pike. They meet every Saturday at 2:30. They're going to be having services and violating the edict that all of the churches have to shut down. And if you decide you're going to enforce this, just so you know, Monday morning I'm going to be in Nashville and I'm going to file the lawsuit against you and against the governor. They said, can we have a couple days to discuss this? See, because he sent me a list of all of the rules and regulations, and he said, this is what they're saying churches cannot do. And it was singing. Everybody had to have a mask that was there. He limited it to 10 people. All of this list. So I sat down and I did some homework and I tried to figure out every one that we could, biblically was in conflict with that. And I come out and I just quoted verses behind every one. And then there was one that talked about hugging, physical body contact. Like, a lot of times people will hug each other at church or something. So I thought, what can I do for that? I know. Greet your brother with a holy kiss. So I put that down and I said, now I've never seen a brother kiss another brother with a holy kiss in church, but So he says, and they're going to be violating every one of these edicts. I was on a Wednesday. Friday morning, they called him up and they said, can you get a hold of your client and tell him that there'll be no enforcement? We've decided that we've exceeded the authority and we can't enforce this on the churches. That Friday evening, I came home after Bible study and I turned the news on and they were still lying to people. They were telling them all, you can't meet. You got to close. There's no, even songbooks, you couldn't have those because you might have germs on it and pass it off a virus to somebody else and on it goes. Somebody that was a 501c3 corporate government church, part of that is you agree to follow every single law of the state. So my whole point in explaining this all and going into all of this detail is what happens when the state tells your church, this is what you are going to do, and you are going to teach from the pulpit your people. If they say, not me, instantly the church leadership is arrested. The corporate charter is dissolved. I saw them dissolve a corporate charter on a church. It was up in New England. They took out a full-page ad when Bill Clinton was running for his second term. Full-page newspaper ad, and it said, if Hillary can't trust them, how can we? The IRS come after that church, because one of the rules is you can't use I think it's 5% is the cutoff of the church budget, on anything that could be interpreted political, or they're not supposed to do anything political, but that's the line in the sand. And they found out how much they had spent on this newspaper ad for 2 or 3 days in a row. They retroactively revoked their corporate charter 3 years in arrears. They had a church school, handed them $1.5 million in like the early 80s tax bill. They couldn't pay the tax bill. They foreclosed on the church and the school, threw them off their property and auctioned it off at auction. You better do what the government says. Okay, so I'll get off that soapbox. God gives us these offers, but it requires something. And there's things that come up that are going to, I said this, we're all going to become criminals one day when we have to choose between God and man. And everybody's going to have to make that choice. But let's take a look at Leviticus 26, verse 1. He gives us specifics that were required from us for this offer. You shall not make idols for yourself, nor a carved image, nor a sacred pillar shall you rear up for yourselves, nor shall you set up an engraved stone in your land to bow down to it, for I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, so this is all the if you walk in his statutes, keep his commandments, and perform them, in other words, and do them. Not just know them, not just think about them, do them. Here's the Day of Atonement. I actually had some, we call them the Veggie Boys, two brothers that used to come to church 25 years ago, and they came one Sabbath, and they were trying to start their own group or whatever, so they come by us till they had things going. They went out to the flea market and hand out literature and started to get a group going. And they were, one of them said something about, well, it was really rough at work the other day, you know, because it was a Day of Atonement. And I asked him, I said, you went to work and it was a Day of Atonement? Yeah. I said, oh, okay. Were you fasting? Oh, no. So wait a minute. You knew it was a Day of Atonement and you went to work and you were eating and drinking. I says, so what did the Day of Atonement mean for you? He says, oh, well, I think it's a spiritual day. I was observing it spiritually. I says, well, how can you observe it spiritually when you're defiling it physically? But you actually got to do it. I think he's serious about it. Now, have I ever messed up on the Day of Atonement? Yeah. When I was the minister at this point, and I remember we're driving to we used to rent a motel conference room, and we're driving there, and every Sabbath, when we go there, we stopped, it was when McDonald's had their 10-cent hamburgers. Okay, so that was our routine. We'd stop on the way there and we'd get the 10 cent hamburgers, not a cheeseburger, because, you know, you can ask Kathy about that. That costs 20 cents for the cheese. 10 cents extra. Heck, I can buy a whole package, probably 50 cents at that point. But anyhow, so we stop, it's Day of Atonement. We stop, we order the hamburgers, driving down the road towards the motel in our car, and I take a big bite and I'm chewing out of it. I told you I love fat burgers. I didn't know about the fat burgers at this point. And Mary says, oops. And I looked at her and I said, what? She said, Day of Atonement. You know, I had to spit that sucker out. And I'm thinking, man, at least I didn't swallow, but it tasted good while I was chewing. We got to do it. Are we going to make mistakes? Absolutely. Are we going to do things because we don't understand? Absolutely. But it's not an excuse. We can't kick our ox in the ditch just so we can go and drag it out. If we do it intentionally, it ain't no good. We can't lay hold of that contract and say, I'm doing my part, God. Please help me. Because we all need help. We all need intervention. Where was I? I don't know. Verse 2. I was in verse 3. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then I will give you rain in its season. The land shall yield in its produce, and the tree of the field shall yield their fruit. Your threshing shall last till the time of vintage, and the vintage shall last until the time of sowing. You shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. I will give you peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none will make you afraid. I will rid the land of evil beasts, and the sword will not go through your land. You will chase your enemies, and they shall fall by the sword before you. other words, we don't have nothing to be afraid of. You can ask Kathy about this, but one time she got pulled over by the cop and they asked, do you have any weapons on her? And she had two or three guns, a couple knives, and some pepper spray. It's like, what are you afraid of? Nothing. You know? Well, we won't have to have two or three guns, pepper spray, knives, and all of this other stuff. God's gonna fight our battles for us. That's the best thing. You don't even have to worry about it. Verse 8. 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Your enemies shall fall by the sword before you, for I will look on you favorably and make you fruitful, multiply you, and confirm my covenant with you. You shall eat the old harvest and clear out the old because of the new. In other words, we're going to have to eat the old stuff because we got nowhere to put the new stuff. That's a pretty good deal, if you ask me. What does he want from us? Just be faithful. Just believe whatever he says. Just do it. And guess what? Every single one of those things is for our own benefit. So we don't hurt ourselves and we don't hurt somebody else. How does a husband treat a wife? How does a wife treat a husband? How do parents raise their children? How do you worship God? They're all for our benefit. Verse 11, I will set my tabernacle among you and my soul shall not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God and you shall be my people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt that you should not be their slaves. I have broken the bonds of your yoke and make you walk upright. You know, for about 200 years, the United States was blessed with all of these benefits. They really were. And then we began something. We never kept all of God's laws as a nation. Never. Okay? Let's be honest. It was a good start, but it was a far cry from keeping all. But it was in the hearts of people to be moral and pure and do what's right and take care of others if they needed it and not steal. All of those things were taboo. Good, moral people. Then something began to happen. We decided we were going to go on a campaign to throw God out of everything. You know, Scopes, Monkey Trials, brought to you from Tennessee. All of these things, God's not allowed here. God's not allowed there. You can't pray. Now people get fired for praying openly. Coaches get fired. Judges get removed from office because they got the Ten Commandments Roy, I forget his last name, in Atlanta, I think. I think it was in Georgia. He got removed from office because he refused to remove the Ten Commandments. I'm thinking, oh, this guy's going to win. The Supreme Court's got the Ten Commandments posted in the Supreme Court building. But people began to embrace evil big time. I know, because I grew up in that generation. Tom, think back and remember, and see if this was going on. There was a saying, sex, drugs, rock and roll. You ever hear that? That was what everybody's supposed to do. Openly embrace evil. Values went down. I didn't respect the old farts. I terrorized old people. Neighbors. There's no respect. Hey, old man, what you gonna do about it? That kind of thing. It was society. It was the way everybody was. And guess what? It's a lot worse out there now than it was then. For the most part, we've abandoned God's laws, and even in the churches, everybody has switched over to the buffet mode. There's a lot of laws we couldn't do. They're still valid. Let me give you a big one. And I'll get off of this because I still got a couple pages to go. Animal sacrifices. That's the one that everybody is going to say, done away with. Jesus fulfilled that. We don't do that anymore. Okay? Animal sacrifices. Okay. Not valid. any of those laws, not valid today. We couldn't do an animal sacrifice legally according to God's law if we tried today. It's impossible. You're going to violate one of God's laws to observe another? You know, one of his laws is anybody that makes a sacrifice has to bring the animal to the gates of the tabernacle. And depending on what type of a sacrifice it is, the priest gets some of it, or if it's going to be a whole burnt offering, gets all of it. Okay, so you're going to do an animal sacrifice. So you're going to be real technical. You're going to go in your backyard and you're going to build an altar out of unhewn stones. And then if you have an animal yourself, you do it like, you know, if you live on a farm, like Frank, I don't think he's got cows right now, but you go buy, maybe you go out and buy a goat or a sheep or something, and you bring it home in the back of your pickup truck, and you take it out in that backyard, and you take the knife, and you go and slit its throat, and then you skin it, and you're going to offer it, and you're going to put it up on your stone-hewn altar and say, what are you going to do about that part about bringing the sacrifice to the door of the tabernacle and offer it to the priest? Are you going to ignore that? You can't. My point is, you don't violate one law to keep another. It's impossible to do that law. So unlike was said 20 years ago, that we were going to sacrifice animals down here and I was going to teach everybody how to sacrifice animals, that's a lie. It was a lie then, it'd be a lie today. Because it would be violating what God says. However, if I was to ask anyone in this room or anyone listening, why don't you deserve the lake of fire? Have you ever sinned? Have you ever messed up? So why doesn't God throw you in the lake of fire on the judgment day? Universally, everybody's going to say, because Jesus died for my sins. He paid the penalty for my sins. And guess what? You're correct. But it proves my point. It shows that blood is required for sin. The laws on animal sacrifices are still valid and in effect today. It's just that you can't carry them out like they did 2,000 years ago. Because God has, the structure is not in existence. And that's why some people get shocked. That's why you go in and you read in Ezekiel during the millennium when Jesus is here, the kingdom is set up. There's a Levitical priesthood going on, and there's animal sacrifices being taking place every single day. And he's here. Now, if he did away with the requirement for animal sacrifices as our high priest, as our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, when he sets up his Father's kingdom, why does he allow the animal sacrifices? For the people. Now, hopefully, we won't be flesh and blood at that point, all right? But there will be a lot of people. You can't have all chiefs and no Indians. There's going to be a lot of flesh and blood people there doing. So maybe, just maybe, the vast majority of people that say, ah, don't have to, that's done away, that's fulfilled, that's abolished. No, it ain't. Our understanding of it needs to change a little bit. Especially, this isn't about sacrifice. I'm about to chase another rabbit down a hole, but the spiritual aspect of that is more important today than it was when physically you could go and do it. There's more for us to know and understand and learn today than there was for your great, 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 great grandfather and grandmother then. It's just as important. Why did he die? When he died, what were the requirements for a sacrifice? How did all of this happen? Oh, that's all boring. That's got nothing to do with us today. Oh, yes, it does. Your salvation. He did it for you already before you were ever born, but it's important. Don't raise your hand, but how many people have studied about the sacrifices? Don't you? You get to Leviticus. Leviticus is one of my favorite books. You get to Leviticus and you kind of do the speed reading. Oh, stop at chapter 23. That's the holy days. Well, back up, maybe Leviticus 16 talks about David told man, and then you speed read through the rest. We're the kings and the priests of the future, and Leviticus is written to the priest, this is how you worship God, and this is how you serve the people. That's an important book. And most people do the Evelyn Woods speed reading, right through it. Stop at a couple chapters. Verse 4, I guess, where I left off. No. I'm going to skip this. I was going to say, we practice integration when God scattered us. He talks about him scattering everybody in Babylon. I'm going to skip that because I've gone on too long. Jeremiah 10:2, we practice as a nation, and I really don't care what they're doing in other. The only foreign nation I've ever been to is Canada, and that's like the United States light. We practice Xmas, and God forbids it. Jeremiah 10, verse 2, thus says the Lord, do not learn the way of the Gentiles. Do not be dismayed at the sign of heaven, for the Gentiles are dismayed at them. For the customs of the tree of the people are futile. For one cuts a tree from the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They decorate it with silver and gold. They fasten it with nails and hammers so that it will not topple. And people, probably the most outrageous claim I've had of somebody that knows this was my grandmother, who I love with everything, who I wish I could see just one more time. She told Mary that's why they had an artificial tree. She knew that Christmas was wrong. She knew it was forbidden. She knew what Jeremiah 10 said. But their loophole was they went out and they got an artificial tree, and they do it for the children. How many other people do loopholes on God's laws like that? I don't think if she understood and she knew what she was doing, I don't think that that cut it with God. When she'd get on her knees, her and my grandpa, every night they'd get on their knees and before they climb in their bed and they'd pray. And I'm in the next bedroom when I'm at their house and I'm hearing them pray and stuff. One of the things they'd ask God to forgive them from their sins. Come December 25th, they're asking to forgive the sins. I don't think he forgave that one. Now, it's a good thing for her that I'm not the judge. I love her. I hope. He said, well, she was just ignorant and didn't understand. So I hope there's a loophole somewhere for her. But do you want to be yourself in the position you're hoping for loopholes? What if you're violating this great deal God gave us? Carefully, diligently, if. It's all he wants from us. You know, we eat pork, maybe not people in this room, but the Christian world, they eat pork, other kind of unclean animals. If they can slide it down their throat, they eat it. We're just eating fat burgers, fat dogs, fat loney, things like that, full of blood. And what I got some in store for us with the GMOs and the genetically engineered. I won't get off into all of that. But even if it's not genetically engineered, no longer has to be labeled as GMO. You can have something that advertises no GMOs and it's genetically engineered. Go read the label on Hyman's mayonnaise. At least they're being honest and they're telling you it's from a genetically engineered product. I thought that's what GMO was. But we eat pork, they eat pork and shellfish and anything they can slide down their throat. It says, and the swine, though it divides the hoof, having cloven hoofs, it does not chew the cud, is unclean to you. Their flesh you shall not eat, and their carcass you shall not touch. They're unclean to you. The world will practice Ishtar. Most Christians do it. I remember my great-grandma. That would be the first generation Sabbath keeper in my family. Going to her house on Easter Sunday morning, and they hid the Easter eggs from the kids. And we go running around looking for the Easter eggs and thinking it's all for Jesus. It's another one. Deuteronomy, that's Jeremiah 44. Anyhow, let's go on. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1. We marry and let our children marry pagans. Realize it's not really a good idea. It's really not. Show me somewhere in the Bible where it would be encouraging and uplifting. It worked out really good. Maybe we should start with Solomon. He had how many, I don't even remember how many, 700 tries to get it right once or whatever it was, and how many thousands of concubines, and he'd do this with pagan. What happened? The pagan wives got him to allow pagan statutes to be set up in the temple, in the courtyards for the temple. Pagan gods. Solomon, the wisest man, who God answered his prayer and granted him all of the wisdom, the wives influenced him into letting them bring their gods in and violate his, commit adultery against God. Now, he was talking to somebody, wasn't he? What's your wish? He actually talked to him. Anybody ever talk to God in this room? Like you had a conversation? He comes to you and says, what is your wish? Anything you ask, I'll give you. And he ended up that deceived and that compromised. How about in verse 2, halfway through, you shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy on them, nor shall you make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughters to their son, nor take their daughter for your son, for they will turn your sons away from following me. We violate that. We practice, let me see here, Ezra, chapter 10, verse 10. Then Ezra the priest stood up and said to them, you have transgressed and have taken pagan wives, adding to the guilt of Israel. Now therefore make confession to the Lord, God of your fathers, and do his will. Separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the pagan wives. I talked about this early on, Leviticus 19:35. We practice monopoly money with the Federal Reserve System and the stock markets and checks and credit cards and all of this other stuff. I understand that some things only, some people will only accept that. It's hard. I tried to pay, not with gold or silver, I tried to pay this place for the meeting room. Oh no, they only do it electronically. That's the only form of payment. So we had to go and practice unjust weights and measures to get this room. But that shouldn't be our first choice. That shouldn't be what we try and do. I understand we still got to function. You got to go down to Walmart. They got whole sections there. No cash. Debit or credit only. You know, they're not the only one. All the grocery stores are doing this. Pretty soon, all you got to do is wave your hand over the scanner into your Fed dollars, your digital dollar accounts that they're busy creating for you so they can control you and know every single thing you do. Leviticus 19:35, you shall do no injustice in judgment, in measuring of length, weight, or volume. You shall have honest scales, honest weights, and an honest ephah, and an honest hin. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. We practice witchcraft. It's very common in this country. Leviticus 20:27, a man or a woman who is a medium or who has familiar spirits surely shall be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. Here's one of those things. It's a law. We're not supposed to allow it. But you can't go out and grab somebody and say, oh, you're a witch, and burn them at the stake or stone them to death. Everybody was put on trial by the mouth of two or three witnesses. There was a trial. The Levites were the priests. Some of the priests were the judges. If there was a serious charge like witchcraft, you were brought in front of the priests. You had a chance to defend yourself. It's not like our justice system works today. Let me tell you how our justice system works today. I establish a court and I establish rules. Okay? And then I hire my cousin Greg to be the sheriff. And I say, hey, this guy has gone on. He's violated some of my rules. Greg, go get him. So my cousin Greg has some of his deputies go out and pick this person up and hold him in a cell. And then they bring him in front of my aunt, Betty, who's the judge. Oh, by the way, I pay my cousin Greg's salary. I pay my Aunt Betty's salary. And she's going to decide if you're guilty. And if they don't have any money, no, we got a fair justice system. They're going to appoint an attorney to represent them. Oh, that's my nephew, Fred, because he's just starting and he doesn't have a very good practice yet. He's not practiced up, so he doesn't have his private practice. So he works for me and I pay his salary and he's going to defend you in front of my Aunt Betty, and we call that justice. That's not the way God's system worked. When people say, what's the biggest thing they say? Well, you can't go out and just grab somebody and stone them to death because they're... No, you can't. That system doesn't apply. It doesn't work. But it's God's system, and one day it will again. So we can't say, oh, this is a witch. Let's go kill her. No, you can't do it. You don't violate just like the sacrifices. You don't violate one law for the other. But the law is still there. It's bad. It's a bad thing to be a witch. You know, you drive down on the way to the airport in Knoxville. You're driving down Alcoa Highway. And what do you drive past to get to the airport? I know Israel knows. There's somebody, they got a sign up in the window. And they got a little... In the window, it's all lit up. They got this little palm thing, this circular, all lit up. They'll read your palm, tell your future, you know, practice witchcraft. We allow our children to bring in games, especially the video games. Not all of them. There are some Christian games, but the Dungeons and Dragons. I don't know what the popular ones are now. Dungeons and Dragons, all of the mind games, all of the fantasy games, It's witchcraft. And we use it for the electronic babysitter with our own children. And then we take them to Sabbath school on Saturday. And they're supposed to read and hear about Jesus and the disciples and Zacchaeus and whatever the lesson is. And then they're going to go home and they're going to play with Satan that afternoon. It's wrong. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if I offend you. It's wrong. Don't let Satan in your house. Somebody one time snuck in, they had a friend stay over, and they snuck in a Ouija board. 30 years ago. Found out about it. I embarrassed my children in front of their friend. That Ouija board went out the front door. Don't let Satan in your house. We practice, I don't have to read the verses, we practice sodomy and perversion, and it's okay. And society accepts it. I don't care if society accepts it. It's not okay. We murder babies. You realize that there's an example in the Bible of women, parents, that sacrificed their children to Molech and then went to the temple to worship God with the blood of their children on their hands. Say, how can that be? I've had somebody come to church and get mad when I talked about this, murdering babies, and she had an abortion and she was proud of it. 4 kids under the age of 4 or something like that. And she says, and I get knocked up again. What was I supposed to do? And a husband that's abusive, justifying it. I'm thinking today, I think about all of the emotional pain and trauma and problems that follows that. You know, if somebody does that, it's a sin. They can repent. It's not the unpardonable sin, but it's not good. And you don't say that it's okay. So the girls go out and do this and they suffer because of it. Another lady came and she was in her 60s and her parents had forced her to have an abortion and it affected her. She stayed and talked to me and Mary after the service, same service. It affected her. She had been married for 40 some years. She could never have a real relationship with her husband because of all of the guilt that she felt over what was done to her, over her own objection, you know, 50 years earlier, 45 years earlier. It affects people. There's reasons God says don't to do this. But it's okay to murder babies. And then, Exodus 20:14, you shall not commit adultery. Well, that's a lot of Sabbath groups, that's still... But that's not a good thing. Maybe we shouldn't do that. Just don't talk about fornication. That's a bigger problem than the adultery. It's also a sin. But it's okay. Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 9. I'll not get off too much on all of this one. But here we send our children to the public schools where God is banned. He's not allowed to be taught, but it's okay. It's a good school where you send your children. That's a good one. Well, let me see. Do they accept government funding? That's the first clue. They accept government funding. They go by government guidelines. They're going to teach your children all kinds of paganism and sexual perversion. And if you think it doesn't happen in the middle of the Bible Belt, 3 years ago, Emily got, they were doing the 2020, I think it was, or doing the at-home school, online virtual school. And the teacher didn't shut the discussion down until Emily got the other kids fired up because they were talking about multiple genders. And Emily said, there's two genders. If you sit down and pee, you're a girl. And then the teacher decides to shut the conversation down. Where was the teacher when all of this was going on? Was it a plant, a promotion? But that's okay. That one doesn't matter. See, this country routinely violates 81 of the 133 categories of law. If you take all of God's laws, they really can be divided up because some laws are for one subject, some laws are, you know, sexual perversion, that's one subject. But 81 of 133 categories that God commands us to carefully and diligently observe, we reject them outright. Refuse. Teach that it's okay as a nation. That's 2/3 of them, roughly. Do you honestly believe that we can continue to do this without any kind of response from God? It started with money. I started out talking about money. We have gone from the richest nation on the face of the earth in the 70s to today we're the biggest deadbeat nation that exists anywhere. 33 that they admit, and it's more like about 150 some, $33 trillion and rising in debt right now. We are broke. We're a bankrupt. That's why the money is worthless. And if that don't get our attention, then he's got something else next. We still claim to be a Christian nation. Part of that covenant is if we violate it, he's going to punish us 7 times over for our sins. And if that doesn't work, then what happens? 7 times more again. And if that doesn't happen, work, what happens? We just live in rebellion. And There is a day of reckoning eventually, and that's what I want to talk about. I don't want to scare people. I want to inspire them to say, hey, God, I know the world around me is wicked. I want you to be like Lot. In the middle of a sick, wicked world, even though Lot was compromised, he was compromised, you understand that. It affected him. God, he says, oh, look at so-and-so over there, tells the angel, hold back. So-and-so over there, you get them out. You intervene. You protect them. If you've never heard about protection, what about nuclear wars? I got a sermon up. It's on, you can go and listen. It's talking about Hiroshima and the nuclear bomb that was dropped on Hiroshima. And there were 50 Sabbath keepers in Hiroshima. Not a single one died. Not a single one got radiation sickness. One of them was a girl inside of a Protestant, the minister's daughter, inside of a Protestant school. Everybody, all the teachers are Christians. All the other students are Christians. Everybody in the school perished except for her. One of them, his son, was working in a factory. And the bomb went off. The blast knocked him under a transfer table on an assembly line. And the whole factory caved in. And he crawled out under this line where the walls were just laying there in shambles and crawled out. He was the only survivor in the entire factory. Tell me God can't protect us from these things. Something I either call the Hiroshima or something. But anyway. Leviticus 26. These are all the cursings. I think we can skip some of the cursings. But the bottom line is God serious. Okay? If we say we want in on the deal, there's something he respects from us, expects from us. He wants us to obey him. Verse 24, I mentioned that. I'll read the one verse. Then I also will walk contrary to you, and I will punish you yet seven times for your sin. If we don't do it. You know, it has to be like 15 years ago, we were over at Laguna Beach, and Dr. Andre, he came up to me one evening, and he said, why are so many people suffering here? And I says, what do you mean? He says, there are a lot of people, if financially or medically, ailments, they're suffering. And I said, well, that's kind of a strange question coming from you because you sit there and you see sick people all day long. He said, no, the percentage of people, and they're here, is so much higher than the general public that are suffering financially, medically, or both. He says, it's sad. And I thought about it for a minute. I said, well, the only thing I can think of, Edward, is they have said, I want in on the covenant, and they refused to do their part. Now, that's not everybody that's sick. Some people think this. If you're sick, Mary had somebody ask her this 30, 20-some years ago. So, you're sick. Who sinned? You or Mark? I had to find a ride home that day from church. She left. It's a good thing she did, because what she would have told the woman that answered that question probably wouldn't have been good. I'm not saying, don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but what I am saying is a lot of things that we do and we violate, we can't get away with. We're held to a higher standard. If we want God's blessing, God's protection, and the relationship with him, we can't be like the world. It just doesn't work like that. Well, I'm not going to read this, but I just realized why I had so many of these verses up here. Let me get your, I tell you what, get your Bibles out, and this afternoon, read Leviticus 26, verses 14 through verses 39. Leviticus 26, 14 through 39. And 14 starts out, but if you do not obey me and do not observe all these commandments, and if you despise my statutes or my soul abhors your judgments. So it starts with that. And then it ends, verse 39. This is, and those of you who are left shall waste away in their iniquity in your enemies' lands, also in their fathers' iniquities, which they are with them, they shall waste away. So let me get to verse 39 up here. Okay. In this section from verse of Leviticus 26, verses 14 through 39, there's something in there that you will see. Look for it while you're reading it. I. 21 times in those verses, 37, 8, whatever it is, verses, God himself says, I will do this. If you're not faithful to me, if you abhor my judgments, if you abhor my statutes, if you don't diligently do them, I. That means him. Okay? He will punish us for our violation and rebellion against his laws. It's very rare. I understand I'm a fruitcake. Actually, get off on some of this. It excites me. It's like, it makes me wiser than the ancients, like David wrote. You meditate on his law. You study it. I do it not because I want to be a self-righteous hypocrite, because I screw up, so that would make me a hypocrite. But I want to understand. I want insight into him. You can learn from this. And this is what he ties his relationship with us on. We're never going to get it right. We're never going to be successful. But if that's the goal, then our heart is pure. Look at David. He did some pretty big sins, but he repented. His heart was right. And God forgave him. Isn't that what we want for ourselves? He said, well, those examples are in the Bible for us to learn from. Yes, but the part we miss is David's heart. We concentrate on the sins and don't think enough about what David was trying to accomplish. That's the example for all of us. Today, we rebel and violate the vast majority of God's laws. Jesus told us that there was a day of reckoning that was coming, that most of us will see in our lifetimes. Matthew 24:19 says, but woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor ever shall be. Or as we have never saw anything like is going to happen. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. So even in there, it is the promise for us. If he doesn't come and intervene when he comes, everybody'd be dead. There'd be nobody left to come for. This morning, a comment was made, you know, talking about Israel. This was yesterday. According to the Jewish calendar, on their high day, not only a Sabbath, but a high day also, double Sabbath. Pray that your flight not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. You know, they talk about, well, most of them avoid things like phones, televisions, media. So they didn't even know what was going on until they hear the boom, boom, boom. I saw an interview this morning, and they said that Hamas is claiming they fired 4,000 rockets now. 4,000 rockets. Some of them hit Jerusalem. Some hit Tel Aviv. It's not like 3 miles over, boom, they go off. Something we could probably build ourselves. they're getting supplied with technology to do a lot of damage. We need to be in that group, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Otherwise, we're on our own. The choice is ours. You got a contract. This is a legal contract that God has offered everybody. Doesn't care, doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, how fat you are, how skinny you are, what color you are, how good your family was, how bad your family was. He offers it to all of us. He wants every single one of us to accept it. So please do. Who do you think is going to suffer? And who do you think is God going to protect? And don't worry about judging your neighbor. Just look at yourself. I can't judge you. I don't know you that much. You can't judge me. But we all know what we do individually. We all got our church faces on and smiles today. Stand in front of the mirror tonight and look and ask, what's God going to do with you? Instead of studying secular knowledge, and you can do this for some enjoyment, but it shouldn't be your focus. Secular knowledge, sports, statistics. I find it amazing that somebody can start rattling off sports statistics, whether it's baseball, football, hockey, whatever it is, this player does this and this player, and they can't rattle off the Ten Commandments. You want to know about the sports? Fine, learn about it. But don't neglect God to learn about man. We need to study. We need to understand. And we need to pray without ceasing. Because it's getting to be where we really need it. It's more important today than it was a month ago. It'll be more important next month than it was today. But the good news is we can all start today. Thank you.